You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Hello, Koinonia Church Online. In just a moment, we're going to continue our series that we started last week on the book of Exodus. But before we do that, I just wanted to take a moment and just kind of chat with you about what's happening right now in terms of reopening and reemerging from COVID and getting back into the building, all those good things. Hopefully, you know that we are meeting and we have been meeting actually since last September in person on the lawn and now also inside. We're doing a hybrid service type of a thing where we are gathering together for singing outside, and then we're doing the teachings and all the inside stuff inside. But that's changing, right? We're really anticipating that by June 15th, we're going to be able to be back inside the building completely. And of course, we're excited about that. We're getting ready for that. We're moving things into place to make that happen. But I just wanted to kind of let you know that as we increasingly return to normalcy over the next few weeks, right, you need to know what's going on, and you need to know that you're welcome to come back and be a part of our services. If you haven't signed up for our services text message, which tells you the details of when we're meeting on the weekend and kind of all those updates, which children's classes are happening and all that, you need to do that. Just text the word services to 559-500-4830, and we will send you that info as it changes. We're going to see some changes over the next couple of weeks, so we want to make sure that you're tuned into that and that you can show up when everybody's here and when it's going on. And I just want to say we're loving seeing more and more people return. It has been an exciting couple of weeks with Easter and the Sundays that are happening, and more people are emerging and coming out, and there's a lot of excitement. God is doing some good things. He's doing good things in person. He's doing good things online. He's going to continue to work. And I just want to encourage you, if you're ready, come on out, because there is something that happens when we're together as a church. There's something that happens in worship. There's something that happens in the teaching. And there's something that happens in community. And I want you to be a part of that. I don't want you to miss out. There's times for us to be apart, and there's times for us to come together. And as we're coming together, I just want to make sure that you know that we miss you and we want to see you. So come back as quickly as you can. All right, let's continue in our series on the book of Exodus. Exodus is the second book of the Bible. It's right there at the beginning of the Bible, and it's the story of the people of Israel leaving Egypt. This book is incredibly rich for us. There's so much that's in the book of Exodus that we don't want to miss. I would say, as I said last week, that page for page, the richness that's in this book compares to any other, maybe is probably the most powerfully rich book in the Old Testament. And so we need to know what's in there, because there are some nuggets, there's some secrets here for our daily life that will help us live in victory. Last week I talked to you about leaving. Leaving ain't easy, talking about leaving Egypt and the whole nature of the book of Exodus. And this week I want to talk to you about how following ain't easy. We're going to look at Moses in particular today, on the life of Moses, who is, of course, the main character in this book of Exodus, but he's also one of the main characters in the Bible. Arguably, he's the second most prominent figure in all of the scriptures after Jesus, right? He's actually mentioned, Moses is, in the New Testament more than any other Old Testament character. He's the mediator, Moses is, between the people of Israel and God. And because of that, he really is a Christ figure, a significant Christ figure in the Old Testament. We see Christ in the pages of Exodus over and over again. So today we're going to talk about Moses' life. And I want to look at it with you, and I want you to see that there is a comparison that we can see to our own lives. And that the process that Moses walked through in his life is a process that we are actually engaging in, that we're in as Christ followers. So before we get to sort of the meat of that, let me just do a flyby about Moses himself. Right? Everyone in their lives has two significant dates, right? We have our birth and our death. And it's what happens between those two dates that is so fascinating for about all of us, right? I mean, those two dates only tell a tiny part of the story. And Moses' story between those two dates is pretty incredible. I mean, he did some truly amazing things. He was the one that God used to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt. He was the one that God gave the Ten Commandments to and the law. He was the one that actually met with God face to face, it says in Exodus. And somehow, in the midst of all of that and many other things, he kept it all from going to his head, right? I mean, in the book of Numbers, it actually says that Moses was a very humble man. He was actually more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth, which that's an amazing thing to say about someone, right? How is it possible for someone like Moses who does all of these incredible things and yet remains the most humble man on earth? I think that really probably the answer to that is the process that God took him through. Now let's look at his life. I'm going to talk to you about the life of Moses in the context of five phases that he went through and five common phases I think that we all go through. I would just call it the five common phases of a believer's life. If you want to follow along in the notes, I'm going to encourage you to do that. They're on YouVersion, if you're watching this live on YouVersion, under the events tab. Just search Koinonia, search our zip code. It'll pop right up for you, and that way you can follow along. If not, just grab a notebook and write some things down. Five common phases of believer's life that we're going to see through the life of Moses. And the first one is this. Phase one is sovereign foundations. Sovereign foundations. Now let me just pick up the story, and I'm going to read these verses to you, I will, in each one of these phases to give you the context when we're talking about sovereign foundation. Exodus chapter 2 says, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant, gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child," now what mom doesn't believe that their child is a beautiful and fine child, right? So it's not a surprise that Moses' mom said, "Oh, this son, we're going to save him," right? So she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So mom got to nurse him for pay, right? How many moms would like that? So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Now, God's work, this is what I want you to get when we're talking about sovereign foundations, is that God's work began with Moses long before his encounter with the burning bush in the desert. Who Moses' parents were, you know, where he was born, what his mother did to protect him, how his sister followed the basket, how the princess discovered the basket, right? All of that, who could set that up but God himself? That's the way that God works. So remember, God's work began with Moses way before the burning bush, and God's work began with your life long before you ever spoke your first word, long before you ever acknowledged God. This is what Acts chapter 17 says. It says, "From one man he made all the nations." Speaking of God, God made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land. So in other words, the Lord set everything into place, and he decided where you were born, who your parents were going to be, what your life, so many factors about your life. There's all of those things that you had no control over: your parents, your family, your background, your personality, your intelligence level, right? All of those are a result of the providence of God for you, the sovereign foundation of the Lord that he establishes in your life. Now, how we respond to those things is our choice. But they are not our choice, right? Moses was in God's hand from the very beginning, and I want you to know, you were in God's hand from the very beginning. He was born into a difficult time. He was born to the wrong parents on the wrong side of the river, right? But something happened. God had a plan. God set things into motion. And his mother goes against the grain, set Moses afloat, and somehow, right, God steps in and he begins to orchestrate and move things because of the trust that she has. Moses' mom believes that God is in control, that he oversaw everything. I want to tell you something, right? Your life was not an accident. Moses' life was not an accident. And whether or not your parents wanted you or expected you or they didn't, I want to tell you, God did, right? God was at work for you on your behalf, even when you didn't know it, even maybe you might not even acknowledge it right now. You're not so sure. Can that be true? I'm not even so sure about God to begin with. I want to tell you, what we see here is that there is a powerful being in the universe, the supreme being in the universe, who is moving things together, and he's looking and he's working on your behalf, right? Sometimes we can't even see it, but I guarantee you, he is and he was from the very, very beginning. I do this exercise in one of the leadership classes I do called a life mapping exercise. And what we do is we take time to take the events of our life and we put them in order, all of the sort of the random people and events and all these sort of background things. And then we begin to order them. And what we discover every single time is that we have a sovereign, providential foundation and ordering of our life from the Lord. Those things that don't make sense, those things that didn't make sense when they happened, all of those circumstances, all of those background stories, all of those things that seem to be random, now as we look back and we see it through the lens of the past and the lens of how God has worked, we begin to see that he actually was establishing things. I just wanted to tell you that your life, there's a story there that God is putting together. He was working with you even from the very beginning. So that's the first phase, right? The phase one of sovereign foundations. The second one is a phase of false starts, right? A phase of shadow destinies. And I think this is interesting. Let's pick up the story once again in Exodus. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people, looking this way and that and seeing no one. He killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one who was in the wrong, why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew? The man said, who made you ruler over us? Are you thinking of killing me just like you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and thought, oh, wow, what I did must have become known. So when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. The destiny that God had written on him was to be a deliverer, but he couldn't accomplish that destiny without God. And Moses wasn't ready at this point in his life to actually accomplish this destiny because he had not yet been through the process that God wanted to take him through. Now, listen to me first for a moment. When God created you, he created you with purpose. This is what I truly believe, that that purpose that he created you with is written on you by his hand. It's like it's imprinted on your very genetic fiber, right? And it is who God wants you to be, the destiny that he has designed for you. But without God's process, we often will find ourselves in a series of false starts and shadow destinies. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, what's a false start? Well, we know that. A false start is a premature start. It's an unsuccessful attempt to begin something. That's what Moses, you know, he's sort of unsuccessfully attempting to be the deliverer, and he's unable to do it. A shadow destiny is a substitute version of one's true destiny, right? So it's a substitute version that is corrupted version of what your actual destiny is. Have you ever had a false start, right? I think that's common for most of us. We think we know how to do something, and we realize, oh my gosh, I didn't know that, it didn't work out. Have you ever thought, right, you were ready for something, and then you realize, why I wasn't ready for that? Moses had deliverer written on the core of his being. It was his core destiny. And so when he sees the Hebrew slave being beaten, something just goes off inside of him, right? It's almost like the fibers of his being begin to scream. And he launches into action, but instead of doing things, instead of working within God's plan and God's timing, he takes things into his own hands, and he ends up killing the Egyptian. It might have worked, right? I mean, when we think about the circumstances of the Hebrew people and the Egyptians, everything was set up like a powder keg at that moment, right? I mean, it could have been that might have incited a revolution that ended up in the children of Israel throwing off the bondages of slavery, right? Pharaoh himself, he knew that the people were a threat to his power. There were so many of them. And if Moses had somehow stirred up a violent revolution, if this event had resulted in that, it could have been that Egypt would have been there suddenly, and Moses would have been in a place of power, and they would have been freed, delivered from their oppression. But if it had happened that way, that would have missed God's destiny. Because God's way, and we think about it, God's way was not to deliver his people through a violent revolution. It was not to use man's anger to result in freedom. It was actually something different entirely. I think probably it would have been fulfilling in a certain way for Moses if it had been successful, that natural attempt, maybe, you know, that violent overthrow. Suddenly a revolution happened and Moses is placed in power and the people are freed. I think that probably would have felt pretty good to Moses in that moment, but it would have been less than what God had intended. And for that reason, it was a shadow destiny. It was a shadow version. It was a corrupted picture of what God actually wanted to do in his life. So many people today are living out shadow destinies rather than their God-given destiny, right? They're living out a version of their purpose, but without the purpose maker, something massive is missing. Right? And all of us in our life, you and me, are going to have opportunities to take things into our own hands and to live out a contaminated, a corrupted version of the true destiny that God has for us. And chances are it's not gonna happen just once, right? That sort of temptation is gonna happen over and over again. And if you're finding right now that you're trying to make things happen out of your own strength, right, out of your own resources, you're taking things into your own hands, and then this might be the phase of life that you're in, right? You might be in that sort of false starter or a corrupted destiny, shadow destiny phase, right? You might find that you're living a destiny out and you're realizing, man, even though I'm successful in this area or even this thing is working out, it's not fulfilling because it's not really what God has for you. And it may be time for you to run to the desert, right? It may be time for you to recognize, wow, this is not what God has for me. I have made a mistake. I, you know, was living something or living in a way that's not right. I got to go somewhere else. And that takes us to phase three in Moses' desert experience and our desert experience, those desert experiences that we're going to go through in our life, right? So where we left off, right, and Moses kills the Egyptian, he runs to the desert, and let's pick it up right there. He says, now a priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs of water for their father's flock. Remember, Moses sat down by a well, so here he is, and these people show up. Some shepherds came along and drove them away, but Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock, right? Remember, Moses is a deliverer, so he's now once again helping people that are weaker than him, and so he chases off these mean shepherds who are sort of mistreating these young ladies who are coming with their own flock. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked them, why have you returned so early today? This is obviously a common thing that happened. And they answer him, an Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock. And where is he? Reuel asked his daughters. Why did you leave him? How dare you? This guy just helped you. Invite him at least in to have something to eat. So Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, I have become a foreigner in a foreign land, right? So here we go, suddenly a change of scene. We go from Egypt, now we're in the desert. We go from the palace, now we're just somewhere in the middle of nowhere and nobody hardly knows his name anymore. He's now a foreigner in a foreign land, but God is at work and he brings him to a family and he unites him and begins his own family. And for the next 40 years, this is where Moses spends his time. A desert experience is actually a very common experience. We see that in scripture over and over again. We see that Jesus went to the desert for a period of 40 days, that Paul, after he had his encounter with Jesus Christ in the New Testament, he goes into the desert for 3 years. The desert fathers in the third century after Christ actually looked at that model and they thought, man, the answer for us is to literally go into the desert and live apart from society and to encounter God. And so they tried to pursue this desert experience believing that it was part of the process that God had for us. Well, what is a desert experience for you and for me? What in our lives, desert experience is a detour from your plan, but it is an encounter with God's plan. That's what you have to remember, right? From our perspective, it seems like, what am I doing here? Why, God, did you take me somewhere that I did not expect to be? This is not the plan that I had for my life. And yet what we'll find is in the midst of the desert is actually part of God's plan. It's part of his basic training that he's doing with us, right? He's building into us faithfulness and patience and submission. To us, we go, man, what am I doing here? But we're learning as we continue to be obedient to him that he's actually using it as a training time. It's a desert time is a time of testing. There's temptation there. There's an invitation to go into a corrupted destiny, to go and be distracted, to go somewhere else. And so it's at the same time an opportunity for true spiritual depth and growth. It's foundational to any person's walk with Christ. Every individual is going to have a desert experience, sometimes many of them, where God is taking us out of the routine, out of what we anticipate, out of what our preferred plan is. We discover that this detour that he has us in, which feels like a detour, it's putting us on course with his plan. All right, we always think that the desert experience is the enemy's plan. It's usually actually what God wants for us. So are you in a desert experience, right? Maybe you've been looking at what you've been walking through. God, where are you? I don't know what has happened. Why am I here? It could be that God actually is taking you right there so that you would learn to rely on him. You learn to trust on him, and he's building some things inside of you. He's allowing you to be faithful. He's allowing you to go through those things so that you have the opportunity to go deeper and deeper. And then he'll set you up for the next phase, right? He'll set you up for the next thing that he's going to do in your life. That takes us to the next phase. And these aren't always sequential, right? But these are the sort of general phases that we will walk through in life. The fourth phase is a God encounter. It is when God encounters us. And we find that there in Exodus chapter 3. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over, right, and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Don't come any closer, God said. Take your sandals off, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. The Lord said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. So here is this God encounter that Moses has, where he is visited by God. God encounters him and says, I've called you. And one sense, Moses said, well, yeah, that's what I was trying to do 40 years ago. And God says, no, now I'm going to send you. Now I've prepared you. Now you're on my path. And I'm going to make sure that then I'm the one that's going to provide for you all along the way. If you need a God encounter, I just want to encourage you, the path to a God encounter comes through that same path that Moses went through. He went out to the desert, and then he lived life in faithfulness. He was faithful, right? He was just doing his work. What he was doing is he was, in that case, tending sheep, right? And he's doing what he needs to do. He's on the path of faithfulness in his life. And faithfulness is so important for us as human beings, as followers of Christ, as husbands, as wives, as parents, that we are faithful in what God has called us to do, that we are honest and true and we're living our life. As we are faithful in that way, then God often will encounter us because we're moving and putting ourselves on the path that he desires for us. So we'd be faithful, and then we want to keep our eyes open as Moses did, right? He's clearly aware of his surroundings, and because he's aware of his surroundings, he sees the burning bush. Oftentimes we walk around with our eyes closed. We're not looking for God. We're not looking for his activity. We're not being aware of what's going on around us. And God is putting himself all through our lives, seeking to encounter us. But oftentimes, we turn away, we close our eyes, we ignore him. And so he sees, he keeps his eyes open, he sees, and then he moves actually toward God, which is so critical for us, right? He doesn't just see, oh, that's interesting, and then go on. He actually then moves toward God. He reaches out for God. He says, what's going on over there? There's something that's there, and there's nothing like hunger for an encounter with God that will draw God to us. And then, of course, he listens, right? He listens to what the Lord has to say to him, which is really, really important to us. And that, if you read the rest of those verses, it's quite a discussion that he and God have in that moment as God begins to unleash and reveal the destiny that he has for Moses in his life. All right, so we need a God encounter to speak to us about what our purpose is and to give us that true context of living out our God-given destiny. And then phase five, right? This is kind of the final phase, I would say, that we'll talk about today in Moses' life, where we just that truly live it out. We live it out. And we find this in Exodus chapter 4. It says, so Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. Now, for the next 40 years, right, the final phase of Moses' life takes place. For the next 40 years, he lived out the calling day in and day out that God had given him. He was frustrated, he was exasperated, he was fatigued, he was energized. There's all kinds of things that he went through, but he never forgot his calling. He never forgot that moment when God said to him, now is the time, and here's who you are, and this is what I want you to do. And in the process of living out his calling, right, Moses encountered problem after problem after problem, right? Just the fact that he was in the timing of God, in the calling of God, in the purposes of God, didn't mean that it was all easy. It actually meant that that was the real start of some amazing series of problems that he encountered for the rest of his life as he led the people of Israel out of Egypt, right? And he had problems with provision, problems with people, problems with everything that happened in his life. It was just over and over and over again, problems of his own personal issues inside of him that he was having to deal with. And that process of living out his calling, as he did that in faithfulness to God, responding to the Lord, saying, you know, God, this is an issue. He would go to the Lord and he'd say, these people are acting this way, or we have a need, and can you provide? Or, man, there's something that's going on inside of me. He kept going back to the Lord, and the Lord kept working on him and working it out and working it through. And he was refining him little by little by little, because living it out is where it's at, right? We're always going to have challenges. We're always going to have issues. But when we live out our calling day by day and we keep going back to the Lord, he will keep refining us and keep doing inside of us. Really, that process that we're in is more about what God wants to do in us probably than he wants to do through us. So five phases of our lives, right? Five phases of Moses' life and five phases of your and my life that we'll encounter is God's sovereign foundations when he's working when we don't realize it. False starts and shadow destinies when we get ahead of God or begin to live outside of God but trying to fulfill the destiny without him, and we find false fulfillment in that, temporary fulfillment. Desert experiences where we realize, man, we gotta go to the Lord because there's nothing else that's providing that for us, and we gotta rush to him. God encounters when God actually shows up and he wakes us up and he speaks to us and he sends us out, and then finally, of course, living it out day by day. If you don't already know it, guys, you're in process, right? But how are you doing in the process, right? Are you running away? Are you resisting? Are you crying? Are you complaining? Or are you embracing the process? Maybe for you right now, it's time to give up on a shadow destiny that you've been living out and you found fulfillment in it, and it's a partial satisfaction, but you know it's empty, right? Maybe it's time for you to embrace your desert experience, and God's working on some things inside of you. And he's breaking you down, and he's taking things away that normally you would find satisfaction in. And your thing is, I gotta embrace it. I gotta love the desert, even though I don't like it at this moment, because I gotta see that it's where God has me. Maybe you desperately need a God encounter. Maybe that's what you're hungry for today, is a God encounter, that God would meet with you. I wanna encourage you that God will meet with you as you continue to reach out to him, as we say, you know, God, I need you. He's gonna encounter you and he's going to speak to you. Maybe you just need to be encouraged today to keep living it out. Moses' life for us reminds each and every believer, boy, we gotta be faithful. We gotta be true. We gotta keep walking with him. We gotta keep taking our lives back to him. And as we do that, he's gonna keep working on us. I'm gonna pray for you, but I just wanna leave you with a challenge. If you haven't been, keep reading the book of Exodus, right? Last time I asked you to read the first 15 chapters, just keep reading. If you missed it, catch up. As we're gonna keep working through this book, your familiarity with the book will help you understand where we're at. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I know we're in process, each and every one of us. I know that you have us right where we're at. Lord, some of us need a God encounter. I pray that you'd visit those who need a God encounter today. Help them open their eyes, help them be faithful, help them listen to you and respond. Lord, some of us, Lord, need to wake up from the place of shadow destiny that we're at. We're finding fulfillment, but it's false. It's temporary. It's a corruption of the thing that you've imprinted on us. I pray that you'd wake us up, Lord, and make that thing no longer satisfactory. Help us run to you. Some of us, Lord, just we need to be faithful in the desert, and we need to embrace the thing that you're teaching us. Some of us, God, we just need to live it out every day. Keep coming back to you for those answers. I pray wherever we're at, you would help us to grow. Make us into a people, Lord, who are alive to you so that we're living out the destiny that God has for us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click Give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.